Hello. Today I'm in the fellowship hall, or the parish hall, depending on what you choose to call it. It's where we as a community and our church gather to share in suppers and fellowship and time after service and special occasions and dinners and all of the activities that that a church engages in. This is sort of the gathering place. And I thought it was appropriate to gather here, because of the scriptures that we're reading. And it's a continuation of Matthew that we've been looking at. And this time, Jesus is performing a miracle. The feeding of the 5,000 is its subtitle. The setting of this is that Jesus has just heard that John the Baptist, his cousin and second cousin, however that works, has been executed. And he's heartbroken. He's upset by this. And he attempts to get away and spend some time, I would guess, in prayer and in communication with the Father and all of that. And so we pick up at Matthew 14:13, and we'll read through, looks like 20, 13 or 21. So this is scripture, Matthew 14:13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, that John had been executed, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. And when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So there's a lot here, but I want to just kind of talk about a couple of things as we're hearing this gospel. Jesus starts out the day being visibly shaken or upset by the news of John being executed, and so he attempts to get away from the crowd, and he hops in a boat and he starts to sail towards a desolate place. It doesn't say what desolate place, it doesn't say where that desolate place is, but he's trying to get away from people. But when the crowds heard that John had been executed, they followed Jesus on foot from the towns. So the crowd wasn't going to hop in boats and try and follow Jesus. They were going to navigate around the shoreline to meet him when he landed. And so Jesus finally comes on shore, and there's the great crowd. We learn later it's like 5,000 plus. So, you know, men, women, and children could be as big as 7,000, 8,000, maybe more. A huge group of people waiting for him on the shore. And rather than say, "Y'all need to go away, leave me alone," or turn the boat around and sail back across, he has compassion on them. He sees them struggling with knowing what to do and who they are and what all of this is about. And so he doesn't start to teach them from the boat, which is something that Jesus does in other places with large crowds. He doesn't go up on a mountainside and start to teach them from a mountainside. There's no teaching here. He immediately begins to heal their sick. So whether that was their intended purpose, whether that was what they really wanted Jesus to do, he has compassion on them and he starts to heal them. Even in his brokenheartedness, he still has more He still has more to give. He still has more to share. He still has more to do. Even when he's received some pretty awful news, he still has compassion on the people who come to him, and he begins to heal them. And it must have taken all day, because a crowd that size, there's a few sniffles out there. I'm sure he was healing them. And so it gets to be evening time, and the disciples say, you got to get rid of these people. You got to send them out. They're going to be hungry. They got to go find food. And who knows, they came from all of these villages, but we're quite a ways out. They say it's a desolate place out here, meaning there's not a lot to eat, just kind of laying around. And so Jesus says to them, well, why don't you give them something to eat? And I don't think he's meaning it sarcastically. I don't think he's meaning it to belittle, or it could sound that way. Well, why don't you give them something to eat? You know, if they're so hungry, why don't you give them something to eat? If you're so hungry, you know, you could hear it said in a whole lot of ways. But Jesus is in a place of extraordinary compassion, probably fatigue, heartbroken, and yet he's looking to his disciples and says, hey, you give them something. You've got something, meaning Jesus, but he's maybe trying to find out where their faith is. And so they respond, no, we can't. There's 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people here. There's a ton of people here. We have five loaves of bread even, and two fish, not big fish. These aren't, you know, 150 pound halibut or even bigger. They're not, you know, a bunch of salmon. They're not, you know, some giant tuna that they dragged out of the sea. These are fish, you know, trout size, and they only have two of them. So of course they're incredulous. They're, what do you mean? We can't give them anything to eat. I mean, how we would all react the same way, I think. I don't think any of us would say, oh, well, sure, Jesus, here, just turn this into whatever. We're not gonna do that. And so we would react the same way. You know, we would react the same way the people do. And this is us. And Jesus says, I have enough. I always have enough. I have enough for everybody. I have enough for all the people gathered here and more. So he takes the fish, takes the bread, says a blessing, and depending on how you read the context of it, he either lifts it up or looks up or however. And then he just starts to hand the disciples the bread and the fish, and they start to distribute it to all the people. I don't know what system they used. They didn't set up a buffet line, but all of these disciples, now I did some calculation now with just 5,000, that's about 400 and something people per disciple. That's a lot of people to serve for one person. And so they start to distribute this food to all of these people sitting all around on the ground. And I don't know what their eyes were like when they would come back for more, but there was always more. And they knew they had only had two fish and five bread. I don't know what they were, what must have been going through their heads. Because this would be just amazing. But this is Jesus, right? There's always enough. And in fact, there's always more. There's always more with Jesus. It's not just enough to sustain. There's always more. There's abundance with Jesus. So with the fish and the loaves, it's an abundance. It's more than what was needed. Everybody had enough to eat, not just enough. They had enough to eat and be, whew, satisfied. Not overstuffed like some of us get sometime. They have enough to feel satisfied. So we know that feeling. They had enough fish and enough bread for every single person to feel satisfied. From 2 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and 5 loaves of bread. Enough and more. So then the disciples go around and they pick up baskets full of the what was left. Stuff that people didn't eat because they had enough. And there were 12 baskets, and not like, you know, little Easter basket size. So generally like bushel baskets. Full. 12 bushel baskets full of leftovers. There's always more with Jesus. There's always more. With Jesus, there's always more grace. Certainly more than we deserve, but more than we could ever imagine. And with Jesus, there's always more forgiveness. Always more forgiveness. More than we can imagine. We worry sometimes, oh my gosh, you know, I've sinned so many times. I've messed up so many times. Jesus can't possibly forgive me this time. Well, don't bet on it. There's always more forgiveness with Jesus. Not to say that we should go out and flagrantly sin just so that we can come back and get more forgiveness. Life's hard enough. We don't need to do it intentionally. But with Jesus, there's always more forgiveness. There's always more love. Especially when we feel like we are unlovable, when we feel like we should stay away, like Jesus can't possibly love us anymore after what we did or what we said or what we didn't do or the way we judged others or the way we said something that we shouldn't have said, or maybe we haven't, you know, done the Bible studies and stuff, you know, and we feel like, oh, Jesus can't possibly love me. But with Jesus, there's always more love. There's always more mercy. There's always more everything with Jesus. That's the amazing thing with Jesus, is there's always more, and it's not conditional. It's not like, all right, you go out and do these things and then come back and I'll give you more. No, it's just there. There's always more. I know I say this a lot, but I'll say it again. If you're feeling that God can't love you because of what you've done, what you've said, if you feel like God can't forgive you for those things, I need you to hear how much more love and forgiveness there is with God. It's more than we can possibly imagine, more than these disciples, as they're passing out this bread that seems to come from nowhere. There's always more. Jesus just keeps giving it and giving it and giving it, and we keep sharing it and giving it and sharing it, and it never runs out. We may get tired, but the love of God, it never runs out. God loves you. There's always more. And it's never too late. And for those who know this, who have heard this, hear it again. There's always more with Jesus. There's always more love, always more forgiveness, always more provision, always more mercy. There's always more with Jesus. And for that, in this place of fellowship and sharing that has been empty for 4 months, there's always more. We're not done yet. There's always more. Look for it. It's there. Hear it. It's there for you. Amen.